This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From Autosport.com, Autosport Magazine, I'm Kevin Turner, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Well, we're at a very wet Silverstone for another podcast session today. And joining me is one of Britain's youngest single-seater rising stars. He's been racing cars, I think, for probably just over a year. I'm looking across, yeah, getting the nod of the head. It's Arvid Lindblad. Congratulations on becoming a BRDC superstar, which is why you're here. And welcome to the Autosport Podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin, for that lovely introduction. Really excited to be here today just for the BRDC induction. Really excited to do first podcast for me, so looking forward to this. Hopefully you have a good half an hour.
Really? Yeah, no, it's your first one. I'm sure we'd be fine. Well, we'll just have a little chat about what you're doing in 2024. Obviously you're doing FIA Formula 3 with Prema Racing. It's quite a big step, isn't it, from a Formula 4 machine which you were racing last year. How have you found that transition from a sort of a driving point of view so far?
Like you say, definitely a big step. 15 seconds in lap time on the average
is it that
track.
Much, is it?
Yeah, it's huge. It's a big step. To be honest, it's hard to almost single out one thing. It's everything. Downforce, braking, grip, power. I'd say the biggest things for me to get used to were actually almost more the tyres in the beginning, sort of the whole in F4, it's quite a hard tyre, no deg. In qualifying, we do 4 or 5 laps. Normally, the last push is the best. In F3, it's very different. You have one lap to deliver normally, sort of an out-warm push. And it's really important to deliver on that one lap. You don't really get a second shot. And then obviously also the car has a lot more downforce, a lot more grip in the corners. So that's been something to definitely get up to speed with, get to grips with. I've been fortunate to have quite a bit of testing, sort of like with the F3 postseason testing, 2 days in, 6 days at the end of last year, just done 3 days in Bahrain, beginning of this year. So I'm feeling ready and excited for the year ahead.
Yeah, and obviously as a Red Bull junior, how much of that decision to go to F3? I mean, we've seen, for example, with Antonelli, Mercedes jumping from Formula Regional, putting him into F2. You've kind of jumped the Formula Regional stage, I suppose. How much was that you? How much was it Helmut Marko and the Red Bull guys? How does that decision come about?
There was a bit of discussion between us, but obviously sort of Helmut and Red Bull, they're managing my career. In a simple way of putting it. So he decided he thought F3 was the right step for me. I'm happy and I think it's a big step, but it's something I'm really excited for. It's a challenge and I like that it's going to be difficult because, it's testing, but I want to try to rise to the challenge. He's been kind in the sense that he's put me with a very competitive team with Prema, won 4 out of the last 5. Team championships, so I know I'm in a good place, and now it's just down to me to perform and find a way to get the most out of myself, out of the car, out of the team.
And you've also got some strong teammates as well. Premier doesn't tend to have weak drivers, does it? So you know that your teammates are going to be in, going to be quick. You've got Dino Boganovic and Gabriele Mini, and they're both, well, they've got more experience than you as well, and they're both quick peddlers. So from your point of view, is it nice to have drivers that you know, yeah, they're going to be there and they're a good target, or would you rather be like, I'm the number one? Like, what at this point in your career, what would you prefer?
I mean, I'm still very young. Turned 16 not that long ago, so I'm still developing, and it excites me. Like I said, F3 is a challenge. Having good teammates makes it again more challenging, and I like that. I want to be pushed to be the best. I want to be pushed to be the best. So it is difficult to have teammates that are more experienced. They're in a better position, you could say, than me, considering they have a lot more experience. They're more comfortable with the car going into their second year. They're also quite a bit older, but that excites me. And I've got a lot to learn from them. But I also want to challenge them. I'm not just going to sit around and be number three. I want to also fight to prove that I'm not just going to sit around at the back.
I mean, it's probably worth telling the listeners as well, Arvid was a finalist last year on the Aston Martin Autosport BRDC Young Driver of the Year Award, and took less than a day, I would say, to get up to speed in the F2 car, short 425 brake horsepower Pirelli tyres, quite a big step up from the Formula 4 machinery that you've been racing. So you obviously adapt quite quickly to new things. How did you find that experience? Because obviously you drove the F2 car and you drove an LMP3 Ligier and a GT3 Aston Martin. How did you find the jumping from, because that must be quite an unusual experience, jumping into different machinery like that?
Yeah, definitely. It was really exciting, the award. Driving the P3 and the GT3, which are completely different to what I'm used to, and even the F2 was a massive step compared to what I was used to with the F4. So all three cars were extremely challenging and testing, I'd say, in different ways. But it was really exciting. It was a great experience. Tested me in different areas, exposed different areas of weakness. But it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it and really grateful to the BRDC for the opportunity.
Well, and also we're hoping to, because you're still eligible as an F3 rookie, so hopefully you'll be in the running to be a finalist again in 2024. Before we sort of go back a little bit further, what would be a good 2024 for you? What have you got in mind that you want to be sitting here saying October, November that you've achieved? What's your targets for the season?
I think F3 is very unpredictable, so it's hard to always put a number on it. With the format of how the race weekends are, it's anything can happen. So I think for me, the biggest target will be to have a constant progression and improvement throughout the year as I get more comfortable, more up to speed. But I'd say there's no reason why. I think a top five, top six in the championship is feasible. If I do my job, and I think if I do that, I'd be sitting here at the end of the year and I'd be really happy with myself, considering the level of the field, how is it at the moment. It's extremely high, and it's not easy to come in from F4 with only 1 year of single seaters under my belt compared to those around me. So I think if I were to do that, I'd be happy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's very competitive. In fact, it's funny how it comes in waves with F3 and F2. You have years that are strong or maybe not so strong. This year looks strong. It's got five Brits in it. So, yeah, I would urge the listeners to keep an eye on what's happening in Formula 3 this year. But let's sort of spin back a little bit. Obviously, it's very full-on being a young racing driver. I know that when you did the award test, you were on, I don't know, days 7 and 8 on track in a row or something ridiculous. So you've got to have passion for that. So how did you get into motorsport? What was the thing that sparked you? That's what I want to do.
So my paternal side of the family has always had a great sort of passion for motorsport, mainly coming from my granddad, my dad's dad. Always loved motorsport. So when my dad did motocross when he was younger, and when I was three, he first bought me a motocross bike. I had a go, did that for a couple of months, but quickly figured out it wasn't quite for me. Didn't have quite the love and passion for it. But then when I was five, we went to a kart track for the first time, and I just knew immediately when I sat in the kart, it was something I loved. There was immediate thrill, and yeah, I knew it was something immediately that I wanted to continue and wanted to pursue for the future.
Yeah, fantastic. And you picked up, obviously you had a very successful karting career, and it was during that period, wasn't it, that you kind of grabbed Red Bull's attention, it's fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I was picked to be on the program, I think just when I turned 13. So I was young, it was end of 2020. Since that moment, I think I'm going into now my fourth year on the program. I've been with Red Bull for a long time. It's almost, if it was a long time ago that I wasn't wearing the Red Bull helmet. So hopefully I'll continue with them for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just have a quick look at obviously your first full season in car racing. I guess you'd call it a roller coaster ride, straight into Italian F4, which is probably the most competitive Formula 4 championship round at the moment. And you started really well, didn't you? 6 wins from the first 12 races, I think it was, leading the championship, very competitive in Euro 4 as well, both with Brema. And then things kind of got a little bit tricky. So how do you sort of see, why did that happen? What was your kind of thinking as to how the season played out as it did?
Like you say, really, really strong start to the year. I was almost surprised by how competitive I was in the beginning. I had two really strong teammates, Ugo and James, both in their second year. So I knew it was going to be challenging. I guess I adapted better than I expected and got up to speed quickly. Like you say, winning 6 out of the first 12 races, having quite a comfortable buffer in the championship lead after 4 rounds. But then we started to struggle a little bit. Things went a bit downhill. Some of the reasons are still a bit unknown. It was a challenging end. Ended up finishing 3rd, which was definitely very disappointing after the big lead that I had. But there was a lot I learned from the experience. I definitely could say it was character building. I'm happy that it happened. I don't regret that it happened because I think I learned a lot from it. I could have handled the situation better, and it puts me in a good place going into Formula 3.
Well, Mark Williams is a fellow judge on the award and who used to worked at McLaren when they were winning world championships with Mick Hakkinen and Lewis Hamilton. He said you only learn how to smile when you're winning. You learn much more when you're not. So perhaps you had a bit of a season, but it's probably worth pointing out to everyone that with a new car, fresh car, you went down to Macau, never having done a street track before. Macau's pretty awesome. Everyone that goes there is like, yeah. And that went pretty well, didn't it? Do you want to talk us through how Macau F4 contest went?
Yeah, Macau was it was great. Like you say, such an incredible track. I'd say one of the most enjoyable I've driven. Driving street circuit for the first time was incredible. Loved every moment, and it was like you say, with new car, new material and stuff. It was also nice for me to. I hadn't forgotten how to drive a F4 car. So that was nice to have after a very challenging last couple months of the year to bounce back in a good way in Macau.
It was a pole and 2 wins, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, pole and 2 wins. It was a very strong weekend. It was the fastest all weekend. I really enjoyed it. And it was good to know that I hadn't lost it and filled me with confidence going into this year.
Yeah, it's a nice way to finish, isn't it? Do you think you'll end up doing Macau in an F3 car this year? Would that be the
aim? That would definitely be the aim. I'd love to do it. I've heard rumours that it might not happen in Formula 3 this year. It's apparently been moved to Freca. So I'm not sure what will happen. But if there's the opportunity to do it again in a Formula 3 car, 100%, that's something I want to do. I was almost disappointed once I'd done the F4 weekend that I wasn't racing the week after in an F3 car. I don't think there's anything like it, and I'd love to have that experience of driving that track in an F3.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool in any car, to be honest. Like the GT boys look like they're skimming the walls all the time as well, so that's pretty good fun. But that's just a sort of couple of more general things. So away from racing, what do you like doing? I know as a young up-and-coming racing driver, you're going to be either in the gym, in the sim, or on track, I imagine, most of the time. But what do you like to do to wind down? What's your sort of hobby, if that's the right word?
Yeah, been very busy past few months. Been on the road now for a while. Haven't been home since the beginning of January. Going home tomorrow for the first time since I think the 5th of January. So
we're recording this like towards the end of February. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's been a while. So definitely looking to have a few days of downtime before flying out to Bahrain on Monday for the first race of the year. I'd say over the weekend I'll just try and have a have a good time with my friends, have a bit of a reset, rest, sit down and just chill, try to forget about racing and try to have a good mentality, make sure that when I arrive in Bahrain, I'm excited, I'm fired up and I'm ready for action.
Yeah, I must admit, I do feel for you guys. I think people think, oh yeah, a young racing driver must be having a hell of a time. But I know when I ring up the finalists to tell them that they are a finalist, it's usually in school, in simulator, in the gym, on the way to a test. It's pretty full on to fit everything in, isn't it? Because obviously your schooling's got to continue as well. So yeah, it's pretty flat chat, isn't it? Before we finish off, is there anyone either in motorsport or outside of motorsport that you particularly admire, that you kind of think, yeah, they're a good role model for what you want to do?
I think one person I would like to mention is Oliver Rowland. I've been working with him now since I was 7, so soon to be 10 years that we've been working together. Yeah, we've been working now for a long time. We started together in cadets got to know him through RSF, and then we built a team together in karting and won championships together. And I've been be working with him, like I said, now for 10 years. I think he's been one of the most helpful and sort of inspirational people in my career so far, individually. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him. He's been with me every step of the journey, was recently with me at the test in Bahrain. He'll be there at the race next week. So I'd also just like to say a bit of a shout out to him, because I'm extremely grateful for everything he's done for me. And I also guess, but alongside of his own commitments, was racing in Formula 2, now in Formula E. Extremely grateful, and also wishing him the best of luck for his season.
No, that's a nice touch. That's a nice touch. Yeah, I must admit, it makes me feel old, because I remember when Ollie was a finalist for the Young Driver Award and he won. I think he's, my view is, I think he's one of the best British drivers who didn't make it to F1 over the last 20-odd years. Really very fast driver, and I know Derek Warwick worked hard with him in his early days of his career. So it's kind of nice that Ollie's now sort of helping the next generation. Doesn't sound right, really, because it's not like Ollie's retired, but the next wave, if you like, coming along. So that's really nice. Well, look, thank you very much for joining us, Arvid. Best of luck with the season. And listeners, I would say keep an eye out for Arvid over the next couple of years. I mean, do you see F3 as a 2-year program, or is it a kind of a let's see how it goes? If you're winning races by the end, maybe F2. Is it that sort of thing?
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I don't think 2 years is not the target. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
The mentality is as if we need, we'll do 2 years, but we're not going in with the approach of doing 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah, trying to keep the momentum going.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Best luck this season. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again later in the season. Thank you, listeners, for joining us as well. We'll be back soon with another Autosport podcast.
Social Podcast Network.